Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Wendy Gillette. A drone attack in northeast Jordan near Syria has killed 3 American service members and injured at least 30 others. A statement from President Biden says it happened last night and was carried out by Iran-backed militant groups in Syria and Iraq. CBS News Face the Nation moderator Margaret Brennan.
The militia that I have heard referenced as suspected to be behind this attack is Kataib Hezbollah, or KH, as U.S. officials refer to it. It is Iranian-backed and based in Iraq, though also operating in Syria.
CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
Several of the wounded, sadly, appear to be in very serious condition. And overall, this is the worst attack with overall casualties the United States has suffered since the withdrawal from Afghanistan in September of 2001.
United Nations officials are pleading for the U.S. and 8 other countries to resume funding to a U.N. Palestinian refugee agency amid claims several former staff were involved in the Hamas attack against Israel. The BBC's Mark Lowen.
As fighting intensifies in southern Gaza, the head of UNRWA, Philippe Lazzarini, warned that its life-saving assistance, on which 2 million people rely, was about to end. Israel's foreign minister says it should not be allowed to operate in post-conflict Gaza.
Republican lawmakers in support of the bipartisan immigration deal are urging their colleagues to be patient as they finalize the legislation. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford appeared on CBS's Face the Nation.
We're working on the final aspects of it to try to be able to get it out so everyone can get a chance to read it. Right now, they're all functioning off of internet rumors of what's in the bill, and many of them are false.
President Biden headed to church this morning in South Carolina. He wasn't there to worship, but to take part in a political event with the state's Democratic primary less than a week away on Saturday.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, etc. It's an idea that we can't abandon, and some want to see it abandoned.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley says she has to do well in her home state of South Carolina to stay in the race against former President Donald Trump. She spoke on NBC.
What I do think I need to do is I need to show that I'm building momentum. I need to show that I'm stronger in South Carolina than New Hampshire. Does that have to be a win? I don't think that necessarily has to be a win.
The AFC Championship game is getting underway this hour between the Ravens and the Chiefs. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. More Americans are earning college degrees and making more money. But as Mike Mohn reports, some groups are not doing as well as others.
The Georgetown University Center on Education and the Workforce says between 2010 and 2020, the proportion of U.S. residents with degrees increased by nearly 7 percentage points, leading to $14 trillion in additional net earnings over workers' lifetimes. However, Center Director Tony Carnevale says even though all racial groups saw positive movement, there was no substantial change in narrowing gaps.
What we have here is a race in which everybody is running faster, but no group is really changing their position in the race.
He says that undermines efforts to establish racial and economic justice. According to state-level data within the report, Wisconsin mirrored national progress with a 7 percentage point increase in degree attainment. The racial gap narrowed for Latino adults but widened for black adults. If the U.S. wants to get serious about eliminating these disparities, Carnevale says it starts with creating an even playing field in early childhood education and K-12 schools.
Getting from childhood to a good job in the United States is a long walk, and you have to focus every step of the way, because the way the American system works is that people from less advantaged families begin to lose ground in the early grades.
Report authors say if all racial and ethnic groups had the same college degree attainment as white adults, the nation's workers would see an additional $11 trillion in lifetime earnings. The summary included data for associate, bachelor's, and graduate degrees. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bow.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some patchy fog, then some clearing taking place in the afternoon, with our highs rising to the upper 30s, light southwest winds developing. For the overnight, partly cloudy skies at upper 20s. On Monday, mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies, a little bit of rain possible in the afternoon. It's 33 at our studios.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Back here on this Tuesday, January 16th, it is 7:06 in the morning. Nice to have you along across the Civic Media Radio Network, where Rob from Tigerton says on Facebook, "Good morning from Tigerton. It's cold, 9 below, a wind chill of 25 below at the home of the Tigerton Lumber Company. I remember times as a kid back in the 70s of being below zero for a week or two as well." Yeah, that's always the best, Greg, when we have to go, you know, multiple days with below zero temperatures. It's why we remind ourselves we don't have huge spiders and all kinds of other critters that they do down south.
Yeah.
True. Very true.
We've got that. We've got that going for us.
Great.
That's, Greg is not convinced yet. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us as well. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. Yeah, speaking of the critters, I think the farmers are finally happy too that we're getting this deep freeze, because the bugs, they like to go in, and the potato beetle, all of that Wisconsin deals with as well. So farmers are excited. You know, the anglers are excited, while everybody else is shivering in their boots.
It's part of the season. It comes along with the process. So we deal with it. It doesn't last. What do I say? We're one day closer to spring.
Exactly.
We're getting there.
I stepped in a snowbank this morning and I take my shoes off, so I'm not even shivering in my boots. I'm shivering in socks.
Barefoot, shivering in the studio.
Well, that makes sense, because the 7 o'clock temperatures, Waukesha right now is the cold spot at -11. Compared to Park Falls up north, where it's 10 below. You got 9 below in Wausau, Madison, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids. Green Bay's at -7, La Crosse -6, Hayward -6, Lake Wissota, it's -6. So we're all below zero for a little bit longer here, Brittany. Maybe more than a little bit. What's the
it's
word?
It's rough. I just looked at Waukesha. So you're sitting at -11 actual temperature. Your wind chill right now is 30 below zero.
What joy.
Yeah, that is rough. I mean, frostbite, of course, can occur within about 15 minutes in those conditions. So layer up, bundle up, don't wear anything too tight or too heavy, because you don't want to sweat either. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it can definitely happen as you bundle up like the Michelin Man or something. So be careful out there this morning. Of course, we are going to slowly climb today, even into our overnight hours. We'll climb to a single digit above zero, but it's going to be feeling like 15 to 20 below all day because of those winds, still gusting up to 20 to 25 miles per hour. And even right now, they're only at about 10, and it's still creating those dangerous wind chills. So another brutal cold day ahead for us. Also, farmers with your livestock out there, make sure you're keeping an eye on them as well. I know they're hardy, but they're going to need the extra water. They're going to need the extra food. Their metabolism is going. They're going to be drinking a lot. Give them dry blankets, all of that. I just want everyone to be safe, humans and animals alike.
Good point. And by the way, those animals, the hoofed ones, I got a text from Travis in Greenfield asking, was I thinking of equine? maybe for the hoofed animals.
Those are horses. And,
yeah.
Well, it turns out the word I was using the word wrong. The word I was trying to think of was cloven, and that's when the hoof is split, like and has a toe. So.
Ooh.
I was thinking cloven somehow described all hoofed mammals, but no, it was the one, Greg, that you gave me.
Ungulat.
Ungulat, yes, which I'd never heard of. But look, we're all learning stuff here, yeah. Brittany.
Word reminds me of ufta, and that's how I feel about the weather right now.
That's exactly right.
I use that term. I used to say it to make fun of my mom because she says it for real, and now I say it for real.
Yes, you do.
I'm a prison of my own.
It's like
design.
Like they said, your face will freeze that way if you keep making that face. The same can be said for your language.
Yeah, be careful today. Your face could definitely freeze that way.
Well, I'll tell you this. Yes. When we went to Atlanta last week, you know, they are cowards, by the way. They shut down for rain. I'm not kidding you. One of the places shut down because it was raining. When I told them that it was like 1 degree below zero and it was like going to be like the wind chill be 20, 30, they were like, why do you do that? I'm like, I don't know.
Because we're proud. I don't know. I like the bragging rights. We're pretty strong up here, up north.
Yes, we are. Oh, another note from Rob. Watch out for cats. They'll go into the engine block of your car to keep warm. That does happen from time to time.
That does.
So be careful for the critters who might get in. And if you're lucky, it's just the cat, and you can get the cat out of there. But plenty of other things might get in there.
Watch
so,
out for something that's an ungulat.
Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful
Thank
day.
Thank you. You too. Stay warm.
Will do. Let's see. We also, when we were talking about the Emmys a bit ago here, Greg, we missed a bit of history.
Yes, indeed.
There is now a brand new member of the EGOT Club for Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
Mm-hmm. That member is Sir Elton John, who won his Emmy last night for his live from... Dodger Stadium, which was his farewell concert.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
he,
good on him. Like,
yeah.
Like he couldn't do anything more
in life. Right.
Now he's finally got the EGOT.
And I think he's the 19th member, too. Joins such wonderful people as John Legend, Whoopi Goldberg, Mike Nichols, and a personal favorite of mine, Mr. Mel Brooks.
Oh, of course. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, good. So anyway, Emmys were... they were rather entertaining. Some of us had to go to bed a little bit earlier, but, definitely, well, it was put together very well. A lot of nice, touchy moments, just enough reminiscing about past shows to make it enjoyable. Coming up later this hour, we will be talking to Professor Sam Wong from the Princeton Gerrymandering Institute about those 7 different map proposals that were submitted to the Wisconsin Supreme Court late Friday as the justices work to replace the current legislative maps, which are unconstitutionally gerrymandering the state. We will also hear from Chad Holmes, who comes up next on Bull Falls Radio here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A reminder as well that we were talking to Christina Laurie in our last hour about the daily newsletter for Up North News, and you can get that on a daily basis, unabashedly Wisconsin news, by signing up at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter up in the top banner and get yourself on there. All right, we were talking about the Iowa caucuses a bit before, and one of the leading issues for people that were supporting Donald Trump in Iowa last night dealt with immigration, despite a rather lack of appreciation for, demographics as more baby boomers retire, as there continue to be a need for people to fill jobs that other people don't really want to do, in terms of, say, mucking a barn or milking the cows and things like that. There's never been a more important time for immigration reform, which Republicans continue to block and are again saying, we want action at the border, but we don't want action at the border if Joe Biden will get the credit for it. So they're happy to demonize immigrants. They're happy to not do anything about immigration reform if they can make political hay out of it. And that's where I would recommend to you a great opinion piece from Ruth Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner. She put this out a week ago on what's happening in Whitewater with an influx of immigrants, about 800 to 1,000 immigrants and asylum seekers, many from Nicaragua, have been arriving. not all at once. And that's what some politicians are trying to make you think. This has been going on for the past couple of years. It's not just a caravan that made it this far. They're trickling up here to Wisconsin for the same reason they have been for a couple of generations now. There's work to be had. There's a labor shortage. And these are people looking for work. Sadly, there are also people who are happy to denigrate them, just as others denigrated their great-great-grandparents when they first came to America. As Ruth Conniff writes, immigrants make up a significant part of the workforce on the farms surrounding Whitewater in rural Walworth County, and she should know. Ruth wrote the book Milked, all about how Wisconsin agriculture would collapse without immigrant labor. Immigrants who will do the work that few Americans would. It's dirty, it's dangerous, it's far from home. But getting back to Whitewater, back in November, Congressman Brian Steil and Senator Ron Johnson, neither of whom could ever pretend to tote the hay bales needed every day on a dairy farm, instead have decided to make political hay out of the situation, talking all about Biden's open borders when they are the ones who refuse to do anything about it. So right-wing media seized upon a letter written by the Whitewater police chief to President Biden asking for federal aid to help cope with the influx of recent migrants. These politicians, however, were quick to evoke scary, uncertain, even violent imagery, even though the real issue is that the migrants themselves are the ones who are fleeing violence back home. It is here in America where they can walk the streets safely. But they do have needs, like any immigrant community, for resources, for assistance, and local government budgets don't have the funding to provide those services as fully as they'd like. And why are local budgets strapped for cash? Yeah, years of Republican budget cuts and freezes. They are the ones quite literally defunding local police and local services. The police chief there also mentioned, as we have on this program before, the issue of unlicensed drivers. This is a real safety issue, and it's not the migrants' fault. The way to make the road safer is for migrants to feel comfortable getting a driver's license after being properly trained. But Republicans killed that option back in 2006, not allowing undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses anymore. So they don't take the safety classes. They drive unlicensed. And it was that Republican move in 2006 that has made Wisconsin roads less safe. Now, Whitewater officials have made it clear, not just to Ruth Conniff at the Examiner, but a story in the Journal Sentinel and elsewhere, they consider themselves to be a welcoming place. They are not asking to dig a moat around the town of Whitewater. Nonprofit groups are stepping up to provide assistance. Members of the community are stepping up. And they are rightfully asking politicians to step up and be helpful. And instead, from politicians like Brian Steil and Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany and others, our Wisconsin hometowns are being used as a backdrop for their very tired and very hateful political games. Tiffany's doing it in the Eau Claire area. You see it in Whitewater. You see it in other towns where we deserve and have many good neighbors, but some of our elected leaders are not among them. And frankly, we deserve a lot better for Wisconsin's long, long record of being a welcoming place for immigrants when done right. Let's pause here. When we come back, we'll continue unpacking the news for this day. We'll talk about gerrymandered maps with Professor Sam Wong of the Princeton Gerrymandering Project, about how we go about fixing the maps that have kept extremist politicians in place for far too long. Hey, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota, across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On this day in 1992, Eric Clapton's MTV Unplugged special was recorded, including that mellow remake of Layla that got everybody's attention. It was an album that would go on to win 6 Grammy Awards, including Record of the Year, for songs like Tears in Heaven, Before You Accuse Me, and many others. This Tuesday morning, Sherita Booker joins us, social media manager over at Up North News. If you're searching for us on Up North News on Facebook or wherever, Up North News is admittedly a little generic. So to find us, make sure you put in the WI, Up North News WI, as you're searching. And then you can follow us and tune into what we do and the things that Sherita posts. Sherita, hello. How are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Good, thanks. So as I looked at the stories that you share with us each week, the ones that get more engagement than usual, either a lot of likes or a lot of comments, I suppose I shouldn't be surprised that one of them deals with traffic roundabouts, because, yeah, there are some of us that instantly said, yep, this is a better way to go, and we deal with it. There's still a whole lot of people that have not positive or strong feelings about roundabouts, right?
Right. So we posted a fill in the blank that said, I think roundabouts are blank because blank. And we got a lot of responses. So apparently you either love them or hate them. Greg Kuhn said, I always get confused and just keep going round and round. Dan Hupe said, I like them, but still look both ways. And Ryan Vintage said, get rid of them. People nearly get hit every time. And I've seen a few people go the wrong way more than once. Feel about them.
Got to admit, I've never seen that. I've never seen somebody go the wrong way, usually because it's, built in a way that you don't want to turn left into them. For me, the biggest problem has been, and there are quite a few up here in this part of Wisconsin, the biggest problem has been that people treat it like a race. And that, as you're coming up, you should yield because a car is already in the roundabout. But instead, they say, oh, I'll bet I could sneak into the roundabout and still be ahead of them like they're on a NASCAR road course. And that's not how it's supposed to work. I don't know what it's like down by you.
And I think people also are like that because they don't know how to use the roundabout. So maybe they're just trying to zip through and get out of it. But we have a few here, and as long as I'm familiar with it, I'm okay. But I have been that person to go round and round.
I've only done that in some larger cities where you have like these three lane, they're three wide. And sometimes it does take a second lap to get over to make the exit where you want to. But, like you note in the article, there are 554 roundabouts in Wisconsin, and they're only going to grow from here. And the thing I like about them is they replace a lot of four-way stops where during rush hours, you could be 10 plus cars back waiting for your turn at the four-way stop. Because what always happens there, somebody doesn't know what order they're in. They either try to sneak ahead or they wave people through even though it's their turn. So I'm still good with the roundabouts. We just need people to use them a little bit more per the instructions, right?
Right. We need to have a roundabout class.
I guess we do. I guess so. Second story. This one's going to come off of one of our Instagram posts, and it's a video clip put up by Kirk Bangstad with the Minocqua Brewing Company, who brews a lot of progressive beers, but he also brews a lot of legal action on various progressive causes, shall we say. What's he doing this time?
Yeah, so they're in the spotlight again, and he filed a lawsuit in Dane County Circuit Court against former President Donald Trump, against him and the Wisconsin Election Commissions and the Republican Party of Wisconsin, in an attempt to keep Trump off the Wisconsin ballot for his role in the January 6, 2021 insurrection. That post had nearly 2,000 likes and almost 400 comments. The comments were anywhere from pro-Trump to giving him props. Somebody, Michael Height, said, "This guy's business is about to take a big hit. It's deep in Trump territory. Not a smart move." Whitney Swanstar said, "Minocqua Brewing is out there doing the Lord's work. Love them."
It's so true. It goes both ways. And Kirk knows that, and he loves it. He revels in it because he does see himself as, you know, somebody who's willing to, from deep within, you know, Republican territory, speak truth to power and, you know, file these types of actions. In this case, saying that, well, the Wisconsin Elections Commission won't remove Trump from the ballot, even though he engaged in insurrection. So now he's asking a court to do that. Again, hard to say, you know, where ultimately this will go, but you could tell, you know, from the comments, people have strong feelings. But by the way, for those folks who might comment and say, oh, his business is going to tank, then you haven't really been following his business, because yep. He, unlike a lot of businesses that try to stay out of politics, he is very definitely in it. He always lets you know. And if you don't want to buy his product, then you don't have to buy his product. But, you know, he's definitely not from the same small business mold that stays out of politics, is he?
Absolutely.
No, let's go to our third story then. And then a nice positive story, a lot of good engagement for a woman named Alakwa Cox, a deaf Native American actress from Wisconsin.
Yeah, so we put a congratulations post to Alakwa because she landed a lead role in Marvel's newest series, Echo, on Disney Plus. She grew up on the Menominee Reservation and graduated from Delavan School for the Deaf in 2015. So it's already streaming on Disney Plus, so you can go ahead and check that out today if you want. That post has more than 2,000 likes and over 500 shares. Most people in the comments were sending their congratulations.
As well they should. That's really wonderful. She had played this character of Echo alongside Jeremy Renner in the 2021 Hawkeye miniseries. And so she gets to carry this on into a new Marvel series on Disney Plus. So just a fantastic achievement. And again, always nice to see people that want to just post up their congratulations and wish somebody well. It's always nice to have that reminder of the happier side of social media, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Sharita tracks all this, all the stories that content, sometimes from us, sometimes from others, that we like to share to give you a great slice of life in the state that we love. Sharita Booker, thank you so much. Great to visit with you. Have a great day. Thanks.
You too, Pat.
That's not a show I was familiar with. Greg, apparently you are familiar with the show.
Oh, yeah. I watched her on when she was on Hawkeye and liked the character, and they just released the entire show. So all five episodes are on there right now. It's on Disney Plus. I really enjoyed it. It's kind of apart from all the other Marvel stuff, but it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Well, let's continue talking about shows here. I'll get to the Whitewater immigration thing in just a bit here, but watch the first hour plus of the Emmys. I thought Anthony Anderson did a pretty okay job. A good job. I don't know how much of it you saw, if any.
I didn't see any of it, but I love him. I love him.
Yeah, I do. I like him a lot. Really liked seeing some of the you know, kind of the legendary figures that came out there. Marla Gibbs from the Jeffersons made an appearance. Carol Burnett. Christina Applegate got a tremendous ovation as she continues to fight MS.
Yeah.
But it always seems the Emmys are... There's always like a couple of hot shows and everybody else gets left behind. You know, so like Ted Lasso, I don't think got anything, because a couple of years back it got everything. This time around it was Bear, which I'd never even heard of until last night.
Oh, really?
So basically, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there was Bear and Beef. Beef was the one I hadn't heard of at all.
Oh, yeah.
Beef is the one that's based on a road rage incident and stretching that out over multiple episodes, you know. But the last thing I'll say is a lot of times the people turned in the list of people they want to thank and they just put that at the bottom of the screen. I thought that was a great idea. It avoided having Anthony's mom saying, "Your time is up. You have to go." Christina Laurie joins us next with The Uplift. You're up north.
from Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center. The entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News special report. A drone attack has killed three American service members and injured at least 30 others at a base in northern Jordan near the Syria border, according to CENTCOM. White House officials held a meeting this afternoon to discuss a possible response, with President Biden joining remotely from South Carolina. CBS News correspondent David Martin.
We're right at the edge now where these three American servicemen have been killed, where the next step could result in a real escalation.
There have been more than 150 attacks on U.S. bases in the Middle East recently, but this is by far the most serious. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
These attacks are linked to the ongoing war in the Gaza Strip and U.S. support for Israel. It's believed that the perpetrators of the attack is a group known as Kataib Hezbollah, or KH, that operates in both Iraq and Syria.
CBS News special report. I'm Wendy Gillette.
Marquette beat Seton Hall. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a busy day at Fiserv Forum with back-to-back games on the same day. Marquette had lost to Seton Hall earlier this month by 3 points. This time they beat them decisively, 75-57. It's the Golden Eagles' fourth win in a row. They head to Villanova on Tuesday. Then last night it was the Bucks dominating the New Orleans Pelicans at Fiserv Forum by a final score of 141-117. The Bucks are now 21-5 at home. Doc Rivers asked why he took this job in Milwaukee at the age of 62.
I was bored. You know, I am not kidding. I was bored. I would call coaches, just screw with them and talk. But yeah, I love basketball. I've only done it my whole life, either as a player or a coach. It's not like I've done a lot of other things in my life.
Do you feel like you still have something to prove?
I don't know I have anything to prove except for I want to win. I like winning.
That's the Bucks' new head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some dense fog and low visibility possible tonight. Otherwise cloudy with a low near 27. Some rain, drizzle, or fog in the morning on your Monday, then becoming partly sunny with highs in the low to mid 40s. 33 the low Monday night, some rain and snow possible. Tuesday in the upper 30s. Currently 33 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back live from Lake Wissota, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Packers stunned the Dallas Cowboys 48-32 to advance in the NFL playoffs. Their next game, in case you hadn't heard yet, will be Saturday night in San Francisco to take on the number one seed, the 49ers. That's, again, a Saturday night game. 7:15 is kickoff against the 49ers. Luke Mathers is here. Dr. Lyerly is here. And we were thinking of the song by War, Why Can't We Be Friends, just based on a Twitter thread that you put up yesterday. And you probably put it on other social media too, but that's where I saw it, Kristen. And I'm just going to let you take it from here. It was one conversation, but a lot of people have responded to it or connected with a lot of people. Tell us about that conversation that you had over the weekend that somebody else instigated for you.
Well, I love to have difficult conversations because I think that is something that we are not doing well right now. And it is not fostering any sort of understanding. We're all going to our corners and just our beliefs are being reinforced by people who believe the same things that we do. So when I'm working out in small towns, I often will go to coffee shops or breweries or whatever and have conversations with folks. And I was talking with someone who's become a friend of mine, and we were talking about reproductive rights and abortion. And as I left the coffee shop, a woman who was sitting nearby stopped me and said, "Are you an abortionist?" And she had this funny look on her face. And just by using that terminology, I knew where she was coming from. And so I explained to her that no, I was an OBGYN doctor, but I did provide comprehensive care for women, including abortion. And she then needed to tell me that I was a bad person. How could I do that? She went just really on and on. And she wanted to engage in this conversation. And I stood there and listened to her because I hear this even in my patients who I'm sitting in a room with trying to help them solve their problems. These are complicated issues that are really deep seated. And we have, you know, lots of feelings and experience that go into the way we feel about this. So as she was explaining her perspective to me and I was attempting to just to participate in the conversation, she kind of let it slip that she too had an unplanned pregnancy. So she knew what was happening. And this is a woman who probably had her unplanned pregnancy, you know, 5 or 6 decades ago. It was probably a long, long time ago. So it was a hard conversation, but it went on for 5 or 10 minutes. And I left wondering how she felt going home. I know how I felt, you know, like I do when I talk to any of my patients. But the following day, I went back and talked with her friend, and he explained to me, you know, this is a small town, everybody knows everybody. He explained to me that she had actually experienced some sort of a fetal death, and she wasn't given any options back in the day. So she was forced to carry her dead baby until she delivered it naturally. And everyone in town knew. And the way that she had approached that conversation, it was very clear that she had so many unresolved feelings, so much anger and so much conflict. And, you know, I put it on Twitter because I thought it's important for people to know that how these deeply held beliefs, how these really conflicting things that happen to us affect us, not just now, but for the rest of our lives. And that was exactly what we saw in the comments, people sharing their personal stories, people sharing stories of things that had happened in their families, people sharing lots of different perspectives. I also put it on Threads where it was a much healthier conversation. On Twitter, it ends up being kind of polarizing, but on Threads, it ended up being just really kind of a lovely conversation about the complexity of these issues and why ultimately our reproductive choices and all of our healthcare choices really need to be made by us as individuals.
But instead, we are in a society now where everything appears to be weaponized. Even the way this whole conversation started was with a term designed to be weaponized, abortionist. Mm-hmm. That's not, I don't want to say there's no such thing, but it is a gross characterization, an unfair characterization of what is a much more well-rounded field of healthcare, of comprehensive reproductive healthcare. Mm-hmm. But the word itself is meant to hurt.
It is, but I think a lot of people when they come into these conversations, they have only seen that one side. They've only been fed all of those toxic words that is their vernacular. That is what they have to use. And that's why I had to stay in that conversation and I had to allow her to engage with me and I had to be compassionate and thoughtful and just recognize that there was so much more than anger coming from her.
It's because the whole reason that we launched Up North News, the whole reason that Civic Media got launched was to bring these voices and bring this perspective to places, yes, predominantly rural, but to all kinds of places where they haven't had safe spaces for some of these difficult conversations. And they've only been spoon-fed one point of view, which often is either, you know, exaggerated or misinterprets or downright fibs about the actual facts of an issue. You have to have these conversations. Mostly I have them on the radio. You often have to have them in person, but they're very essential.
I have them in person all the time with my patients. And my patients make decisions that I wouldn't make for myself sometimes. And my patients come to the table with different problems, different experiences, different levels of support in their lives. And that's why I can't make decisions. When my patients say, "What would you do in this situation?" I can't answer that question because what I would do in most cases might be different than what they would do because my life is different.
Right. So and I've heard for decades when Sherry is on the phone with patients, you know, I can tell they asked it because she'll come back with, you know, "I can't tell you that. I can't make that decision for you. I can only lay out all of the factors." But here's the thing, Kristen, this isn't that, it wasn't that long ago that women weren't given all of this information to make a decision for themselves. Women have really only had this amount of control over their bodies for about the past 60 years. For all of human history before that, not so much.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And it depends too on where you live. So it may be legal, it may be generally available, but if you live in a pocket where maybe you have a Catholic hospital, you are not going to get birth control options at that Catholic hospital. So if that's the only option for you and you are going in for a cesarean and you want your tubes tied, you're not going to get it because the Catholic hospital won't allow that to happen. So it really depends very much on where you live and what kind of access you have personally in your region. And that doesn't mean that you don't have the same kinds of problems that other people have. I mean, 1 in 4 women in this country will have an abortion in her lifetime. Those are women from rural areas and cities, but they don't all have the same level of access to the care that they need.
As I was looking at the conversation, both on Twitter and on Threads, and having this the same impression of the platforms that you did, one of the discussion topics was to basically challenge that woman who wanted to label you as an abortionist. They wanted to challenge her, if they would have been there, to say, "Well, what have you done to this? Have you been a foster parent, you know, for somebody that might have had unplanned pregnancy? Where are you in providing, say, comprehensive sex education to young people? If you're against that, then really what else are you doing other than name calling?" And I'm not saying this to shame her, but to, again, bring up the larger point that rather than simply being against abortion no matter what, what are you then offering for all of these women and girls going through these kinds of circumstances?
I think for people who have had these kinds of experiences, the first thing that they have to deal with is their selves, their own trauma, their own experience. And people deal with that in so many different ways. And some people really hold it so very closely that they can't take it to that other level. They can't sublimate so that they can adopt a foster child and they can help get education out there and they can maybe run for office so that they can make a difference. That is just not in their wheelhouse. But I think we can all support each other and we can all listen to each other and hear each other. That's one thing that every single one of us can do, whether we're talking about reproductive care or cancer care. It doesn't matter. We all have challenges in our lives, and to just truly be there for each other as human beings, as neighbors, as family members who love each other, we can all do that.
I think to me, that's one of the more difficult parts to process, is that some people have such a knee-jerk reaction until it happens to them or it happens to somebody close to them, whether it's something related to abortion or something related to, you know, LGBTQ issues or race or whatever the case may be. Is why does it always have to be when there's only one degree of separation or maybe two for you to more fully appreciate, you know, what people are dealing with? And let's try to have that empathy for all a little more often, and not just when it's selfishly right on your doorstep.
Yeah, because you don't know what someone else's experience is. And when I was having this conversation with her 2 days prior, I had spoken to a group of high school girls, at-risk high school women, one of whom was already a mother, and many of who stayed afterwards to ask me questions that I would have never expected 15, 16-year-olds to ask. Questions about sex toys, questions about what to do in certain situations that I, as an adult, wouldn't see myself in. But that was their real life experience. And I was so grateful that they were asking me so that I could help give them good solutions, but also so that I could help understand where they were coming from and continue to remain non-judgmental, objective, and helpful for them so that they could navigate their own complicated lives.
Well, it was put so well by somebody on social media who put it this way. Republicans will hand a 6-year-old a gun. They will force a 10-year-old to carry her rapist baby to term. They'll allow a grown man to marry an 11-year-old, and they'll send a 12-year-old to work in a meatpacking plant, but they won't give a hungry child a free lunch or a safe school for that matter. And it just seems, again, there are such misplaced priorities when it comes to adolescent and teenage girls and young women and to boys and to anybody at risk in all of these many issues, where what they need is information, but we're banning books. What we need is information, but we're putting in gag orders. What we need is information, but we're letting, in some cases, abusive or uninformed parents have a monopoly on the decision-making process. We're not doing right by our society through our children in that way.
And all the things that you just mentioned are not hyperbolic. So no. If you listen to folks from the other side, they are saying hyperbolic things like, Democrats want to offer abortion up until the time of birth and sometimes after. That doesn't happen.
It's
They're saying that to get you riled up. But everything Pat just said is true. They are not protecting us. They are not trying to solve problems. They're just stoking this culture war to get us on one side or the other so that they can continue to perpetuate their power. And it's not serving us. And the only way to combat this is to actually have conversations with each other and to try to figure out where the truth is. And not just the truth at the presidency, at the top, but at your school board level, in your local municipality. All of those elections that are coming up in the spring, those elections really matter at home, where all of that local stuff really is affecting you and your family.
And it really is getting to that ridiculous point. It's not hyperbolic to note that some school districts are now removing dictionaries because they have words in them for, like, you know, genitalia or any kind of information that way. They're trying to create this vacuum that only, you know, some people who may not be very well informed will fill. And it's not right. It's not the right thing to do. We're not doing right by our kids or by our country. Kristen, thank you for having that and all the difficult conversations. And then we'll talk. You're going to be back Thursday, I trust?
Yes, I will.
We'd like that very much. All right. Well, you take care out there and have a great start to the week.
Sounds great. You too,
thanks,
babe.
Thanks for playing with us. All right. When we come back, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with 3 things you need to know to start the week. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota across the Civic Media Radio Network. I can't be with you.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Gah, I'm so stressed. It's a brand new year and our business is busier than ever.
Uma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Uma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 35 features.
Uma?
Yep. Switching to Uma is a cinch. Starts at $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Uma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Uma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Uma. Smart communications for the smarter business.
The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings on the ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Viva Las Vegas!
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
See that girl where I'm putting the ball? Huh. Listening and singing, she's a girl.
I was sure that I had heard every Grateful Dead song. Why? Because every time Dan and I are in a pub together, he plays every Grateful Dead song on the jukebox that's there.
As you do.
I don't recall hearing this one at all. So what do we got today?
Dan?
It is a very early version. We're talking the late 60s, Puff Wars, and that's what I think it is. Am I right?
Wait, the name of the song?
Yeah.
It's Golden Road.
Golden Road, yep. But it's off. They've renamed it. I know that. So, anyways, it's an old one. It's the late '60s, early '70s.
You can hear that late '60s, like, yes. Hey, everybody, yeah. We're the Grateful Dead. Ah.
It's got kind of a Monkees, you know, thing in the background.
Yes, uh-huh.
Very poppy.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
All right, how are things up at your Ashland? I assume
it is cold again. Mm-hmm. It is cold as I look out above the bay, but the bay is frozen now.
Yes.
And there's actually some pretty crazy people out there ice fishing, which is just nuts.
Oh no, it gets real full real fast, and they can go.
It's unbelievable. They were out there early this morning.
Not you though.
Nope.
You've got things to do. Hey, I should let you know we were talking to Don Brown earlier in the hour, and off air he's telling me about how his son is going to UW Eau Claire, where you were prior to Northland, and that the Sonatag Center that they're building out there, and all the new sports venues. The work that you did there was a big reason, you know, why he was committing to go there. So I know you're looking to build up a program up there in Ashland, but your legacy is still very much active as another generation of Blue Golds comes into the pipeline here.
Well, that was always the hopes that we, you know, it was a long road to get there. The generosity was historic. But yeah, these are facilities that are game changers for the institution, not just as an athletic piece, but as a whole recruiting piece to the regular student that becomes attractive. You've got an event center that you could actually be there for a Toby Keith concert one day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, it adds so much to the campus atmosphere, similar to Madison, with those type of facilities. So it is a game changer. Good to hear that kind of feedback. And, they should be in pretty good shape moving forward as an institution and an athletic department.
And so what's the latest from your current role up there at Northland College?
Well, I'm entertaining bids right now with some major construction firms to add about a $5.5 million, $6 million addition onto the building. With starting wrestling, we need a wrestling room. We need locker rooms. And then the next piece is part of the project is football locker room and offices so we can reinstate football. So it's those are the main things. That's worth about 130 bodies. And we're all about enrollment, as Eau Claire is. It is a difficult times in higher ed for the next 5 to 7 years because of the enrollment drops everywhere across the country due to the birth rate dropping from 08. So everybody's fighting for the students because there's less of them. And this is another way that Northland can stay alive and thrive with these type of facilities.
All right, let's go to sports at kind of a bigger level here. In fact, let's do the Packers last. I'll tell folks that the Bucs play at Detroit. They're actually got two on the road at Detroit, Saturday afternoon and Monday night. Check out Civic Media to find out what stations you can catch the game on there. The 11th-ranked Badger men's basketball team will host Indiana at the Kohl Center tonight at 7:30. The 17th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team is at St. John's on Saturday. The Badger women host Minnesota next week Tuesday. The Marquette women host number 9 UConn next week Tuesday. The Badger men's hockey team is off this weekend. The Badger women's hockey team, number 2 in the country, is in Mankato to play Minnesota State on Friday and Saturday. And Dan, I made a note to myself, but did not update it as far as Division III hockey goes. Last time I checked, which was a week or two ago, River Falls was number 1 for the women, and the Blue Golds were number 2. And Stevens Point was number 8 for the men, and Eau Claire was number 9. I assume they haven't changed too much in those positions since then.
Well, what they call pairwise, it's a computer program that we're probably in most of the NCAA is going to move to this type of rationale on how you pick to go to the playoffs. Hockey has been the demo for it. It's called pairwise. It's all kinds of mathematical figures on how they judge where you're at in a ranking and who makes the NCAA postseason. So I think both of them are poised at Eau Claire to move on into the playoffs. But, man, River Falls, they've got it going on. They've had it going on for many years. That coach has been there. So, you know, good things in hockey across the state. Yeah, I'm actually switch gears on you. I'm enjoying what Coach Gard is doing with the men's basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're lights out right now.
It's very true. I mean, it is surprising. But I have to get used to the volatility of basketball, especially not just the Badger men, but the Bucks, who, again, as they showed this week, they're always going to give up, you know, 120, yep, 130 points. And there's going to be nights where, like the other night, they could only score 95 or something like that. So
right,
you have to ride the roller coaster all season with the Badgers or the Bucks.
So who you got this weekend, Pat? Who do you got?
Well, like I've said before, and some people are swearing they're going to punch somebody if they hear the phrase house money, but that's what it is. The Packers are playing with house money. Yep. Expectations are low. I mean, Dan, you could feel the joy. Even a Bears fan like you, you have enough Packer fan friends. You could feel their joy throughout that entire Dallas game. And I'd love to feel that again.
I still can't believe McCarthy kept his job after that one.
I can't either. I didn't think they were going to let him in the locker room at the end of the game. They're just going to say,
right,
hey, we retrieved your car keys for you. Bye-bye. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I like the matchup of to watch will be the Green Bay front 4, front 5 of the defense against McCaffrey, the running back.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a huge challenge. Their running game versus the Packers' run defense, that I think is going to be the difference to force Brock Purdy to throw the ball. And I think if they could do that, they did that against Dallas. They just got to duplicate it.
The funny thing is when most people hear the name Colin Kaepernick, they think of the controversy surrounding him. I still think of some of those heartbreaking losses. He just always seemed to have the Packers' number. Now, again, time has moved on. He's not there. Rodgers isn't there. But I'm still somewhat gun-shy from some of those big game losses to the Niners over the years, that the last thing I'm going to do is get overconfident.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, Pat. You can't be overconfident. But you are playing with house money. That's the best house. That's the best money you can play with.
I know. So, and we're going to
– I'm hoping for a Detroit-Packer NFC game.
Oh, how fun.
So that would assure one of our teams going to the Super Bowl. That would be great from the NFC North.
That would be awfully fun. All right, well, mm-hmm, fingers crossed. Have a great weekend. Talk to you a little bit later on.
See ya.
Mr. Bach, again, really quick at the Laughing Tap.
Jessica Michelle Singleton.
All right, check that out as well. And thanks to everybody in Waukesha for their hospitality. It was great to get settled in here and be able to talk about the town. And, you know, we'll continue getting around the Civic Media Radio Network and introducing you to the stations and the communities along the way. So keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News Radio is back Monday morning at 6 a.m. Have a great weekend.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, everybody. This is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Todd will be back from his trip around the state on Monday, and we'll round up the weekend in news. Join us from noon to 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the High School Musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on 93.5 The Tap and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.